The following is the afternoon meeting at Black Rock Church, the first Sunday in June 1968. Elder C.R. Hollingsworth is the speaker.
What number? Page 52. don't, I must put on the field.
Well, unless it's your custom, I won't.
Well,
and no need of any more singing.
No. Not unless you want.
I want to, I'm glad my brother and friends to say they'll have a CR. Did I see on? I'm in the J.R. Hoffenberg is with us, and we have known him for many years. He's a member of the Figure Association, of which we were also members for many, many years. And that is here. He preached at the Springs this morning, and I have a very favorable report, I'm glad to say. And the Lord bless him to preach this afternoon, and us to have a hearing here. He likes to be in a feast that we have this morning, and the brother down here. So may the Lord enable him to speak and us to hear the Lord's word.
There's trouble sometimes finding my, my scriptures.
Page 153, if you
go ahead. Go ahead, sing while I find what I want.
Which one? The 152.
Service very much over at Rock Springs this morning. It is a little hard on me in driving to get here for the services. I hope it will not interfere with my feelings in speaking to you. And I know the Lord is able to take anything and everything out of my way if it so pleases him to do so. And if the Lord's willing, I hope to read maybe 6 verses of the 11th chapter of Hebrews concerning faith. And you Bible readers know as well as I do that almost all of the 40 verses is concerning faith, which I will not try to read, but about 6 verses. And I hope that the Lord will move me by His Spirit to speak. speak in connection with what I read. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if we was to try to find words or use words to describe faith and to tell us what it is, we couldn't find anything more better than what I have read. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith being the substance of things hoped for, it must be a heavenly gift itself. Oftentimes in the plant where I work or wherever I go, I hear people speaking of faith as being something that a man can reach out and grasp or take hold of himself. But I don't think that they understand really what faith is. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In some places in the scripture we find faith, the word faith, used instead of the word Christ. I hope that I can come to that later on in the text. But faith is a heavenly gift itself. Something that is beyond the reach of mankind. I once heard a Lutheran preacher over the radio preach what I believe concerning faith, and he says that we do not exercise faith, but faith exercises us. And I had to agree with that. And then in one place in the scriptures that it is said that faith without works is dead. And the writer also says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I don't know if you have ever thought about it like that I do or not, but as the scripture says that all men have not faith. All men have not faith. And yet I have just read without faith that it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And I am persuaded to believe that we have that faith by measure. We have the Spirit of God by measure. But Jesus Christ had not the Spirit of God by measure as we have it. Neither did he have faith by measure, because in him the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. But we have faith by measure. And that the Lord's people are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that they should walk in them. And they walk in them by faith. Some have a greater measure of faith than that of others. One says, let every man prophesy according to the measure of faith. But whatever measure of faith that we have, and whatever the work is that God hath ordained that we should walk in, I'm talking about good works now, that God will give us faith and strength and a willing mind, that we will walk in the way that he has ordained that we should. Of course, I'm talking about good works at the present time, because that is what the writer was speaking about. And that is the only kind of works that we do walk in by faith, is good works. And it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Nothing but an all-wise God, unlimited in power, could do such. But one of the things I love to think about, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without the gift of this faith, no man could believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And without this faith, no man could diligently seek him. They could not do that. And I often think of the leper that went to Christ. And he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Nothing but the faith, the living faith of God, prompted that leper to go to Christ, believing that he was able to make him clean. And as we think of leprosy as being an incurable disease, as far as the natural positions of the land are concerned. But yet, by this faith, he went to Christ, believing with all of his heart, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And when I think of that leper, as the Lord said unto him, I will, be thou clean. I will. God never turned a poor beggar down. When he comes empty-handed, believing with all of his heart that God is a rewarder of everyone that diligently seek him, or that believe that he is able to heal. God always hears the prayer of those that come to him by faith. Sometimes, but very seldom, that I touch upon my experience, but I would like to at some of it at this time. I was about 12 or 13 years of age when that I first saw myself as a vile sinner, and realizing that I had an incurable disease, about 12 or 13 years of age. And I remember very well that I was walking a pathway that I had traveled many times before. And I had never felt this way in my life. But this time that I was given to see something that my mother had never been able to teach me. She used to have us children to gather around, and she would read the Bible to us. And I think it's commendable. But she could not show me my sin. She could not make me know my depravity. She could not cause me to feel the need of this great physician. She couldn't do that. But while that I was walking this pathway, and you can tell me as well as I can why that I had a little testament. I don't remember. I don't know why. I never felt the need of salvation before in my life. But for some reason I had a little testament in my pocket. And I taken it out and I began to read. And I remember the 21st chapter of the Revelations in the 8th verse, although some of the things that I had never actually committed. But for the first time in my life, I began to realize what it means. Where that the scripture says, he that offends in one point is guilty of the whole. I realized that with all of my heart, that I had transgressed God's holy law, and that I felt to be guilty of the whole. And of all other people in the world that I could think of, no one was as great a sinner as I felt myself to be. I couldn't see that in other folks. I couldn't see that. And as I walked that pathway, I was given to put all of my trust in God. Something my mother couldn't cause me to do. Something nobody else could not cause me to do. And I believe that I was given this living faith here to trust God, for that is, before that I tasted that He was gracious, or before that He ever manifested unto me that He died for me, or that there was any salvation for me. I was like the leper, with an incurable disease, but believing with all of my heart, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. You can do it. The leper didn't say why. He didn't say, Lord, You owe this to me. He didn't say, Lord, I have done something to merit these favors and You owe it to me. But Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. You can do it. And I believe it with all of my heart that God was a supreme being, and that He was able to reach my case, that He was able to deliver me. But I couldn't see why that He would. But I believed that He could. And I remember the place that I came to, that I thought that I had made my last step on earth. And I went down there, face foremost on the earth, stretched out, not feeling that I would ever lift my eyes to see the sun again. Not feeling that I would ever live to see the sun rise again. That I had come to the place, without mercy, I was bound to die and wake up in endless woe. But yet realizing that if my soul was sent to hell, that God's righteous law proved it well. And when I went down there, I don't know how long that I was lying there, but I have heard a song sung by the denomination, whether sound or not, I don't know, Love Lifted Me. But I believe with all of my heart that on that spot, that love lifted me, and God is love. God is love. Love lifted me. Seemingly that I, when I rose to my feet, I was in a brand new world. The whole earth was illuminated with the glory of God as far as my eyes could see, even to the horizon. And I remember a beech tree that was standing nearby, and the breeze of the wind passing through and the leaves quivering. It looked like to me that everything was praising God. I feel like that I know in some wonderful sense what the leper experienced when the Lord says, I will be thou clean. I believe it was said to me, I will be thou clean. I believe that I know what the Jesus meant when He said to some, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and if it makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. I believe that I know what it means to be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, with all guilt taken away. I felt just as free from sin and from condemnation as if I had never committed to sin in all of my life. And thinking of faith, I often think of the widow woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she had spent all of her living with other physicians. But she was nothing better. She was no better. But rather grew worse. Rather grew worse. But by this faith, she believed with all of her heart, if I could only touch the hem or the border of his garment, I would be made whole. She touched that kind of touching. The disciples did not understand what he meant. And Jesus said, someone has touched me. The disciples mentioned the prayer, the multitude. They didn't know what was going on there. But Jesus said, someone has touched me, for virtue has gone out of me. And this poor woman saw that she could hide it no longer. You ever see the Lord's people trying to hide what the Lord had done in them? And they couldn't do it. The more they try to hide it, the more manifested it becomes to be. She could not hide it. She came testifying as to what had been done in her. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. To me, that was the same thing as to say, woman, I have made thee whole. Do we know any other physician other than Jesus Christ? None other but him. They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. And wherever that you find afflictions, you find life. They that are dead in trespasses and in sin, they are not afflicted. Those that are brought before us sometimes in our church houses as they lie in the casket, they are not afflicted. They are dead. But wherever that you find afflictions, you find life. And the Lord said, I will live in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Why? Because that the Lord takes away the armor in which that they trusted in and gives them faith to believe that God is a rewarder of everyone that diligently seek him. This faith has works. It never fails. It doesn't. And the purpose that God gives this faith for is always accomplished regardless of what the purpose is that it is given for. There is not but one faith, one Lord, and one baptism. But we may have the gift of faith for one thing at one time and the same faith for another thing at another time. But it's not a different faith. There is not but one living faith. Let us think then of Peter, that he was passing by one that was sick as he was lying on his bed. And I understand in those days they maybe would have a skin of a beast or something to lie on. That Jesus said to one, take up thy bed and walk. But Peter, passing by this man, he said, make thy bed and walk. And he said, Jesus hath made thee whole. Well, that Jesus said to the woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. I see no difference in saying, thy faith hath made thee whole, and saying that Christ hath made thee whole. I see no difference in this. And that it was done. We think of the crippled man that was crippled in both ankles, that he sat at the gate that was called Beautiful, lame in both feet, and not able to walk. And James and John passing by this way. And this man fastening his eyes upon them. And maybe that Peter the spokesman says, silver and gold have we none. If they were preaching for money, they were poor collectors. Silver and gold have we none. But such as I have, give I in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk. Took him by his hand and raised him, and his ankles were completely healed by receiving strength, which was by faith. He went into the temple, leaping and praising God for what had been done. Other men knew that this was a man that had been sitting at the gate. They came out and looking at Peter and John, they say, why look upon us? As if we by our own power had performed this notable miracle. They did not take the honor to themselves. No honest servant of God will not take honor to himself. But the man whom you crucified and hung upon a tree, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, this man is made perfectly whole before you. It was by faith. How wonderful it is that when we can think of these things, so that every move that we have ever made yet that is acceptable in the sight of God is by the faith of God. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I hope in going to the church and asking for a home among these people was because of faith and because of the love of God that I had in my heart for them. I love to think about it in that way. Oh, I know some people will say they can join a church just at any time. Others, no certain time for this and no certain time for that. People will say that. I don't see it that way. There were many years that I desired to go home to my friends, but I couldn't do it. I'd consider my unworthiness. I couldn't live just like that I wanted to live to be a church member. And I don't do it yet. I don't do it yet. But I made this statement more than once. I will never go until the time comes that I feel to be more worthy than I feel to be. But I was wrong. I was wrong. The more that I loved these people and the greater the desire was to go home to my friends and tell them how great things that the Lord has done for me, the more unworthy I felt to be. And I remember 4 weeks before that I opened to the church, it was the hardest thing that I ever did in my life that day to leave without talking. But I couldn't do it. I noticed that one brother was looking at me, tears streaming down my cheeks. I looked around to see if it was somewhere that I could hide. You ever get to the place you just wanted to hide? But I couldn't do it. They were staring in my face every way that I turned. And this brother started toward me, and I turned him back. And he didn't say anything. And I was glad he didn't. And the next day I saw him. He says, you know that I started over to talk to you and to tell you to come on. Says, I was aiming to tell you that I knew that you had a hope. And he says that my mouth was stopped. He says, I couldn't speak. I couldn't do it. But my brethren, if I've ever lived in hell 4 weeks, the next 4 weeks was. And I made this promise conditional. I was afraid to make it any other way. Because that I knew that I was not able to keep promises. And I said, Lord, if thou wilt enable me, the next conference meeting, I will go and try to tell them how great things that thou hast done for me. The Lord blessed me to do that. And what a burden was laid down that I've been carrying these years. And what a great relief I found unto my soul. And the next morning when that I was baptized by my pastor, as he led me out into the water, seemingly that it was cold, I had serious thoughts. Maybe I'm not fit to be baptized. If I was, surely this water wouldn't be this cold. I had the thoughts like that. But when that I was raised up out of that water, not another chill. If I had 10,000 tongues, I could not express to you the joy and the comfort I found and the relief that I found into my soul. I couldn't do it. And yet I couldn't go before I did. And I'm confident that I could not stay away any longer. But as to tell you that I live today just like that I want to live, I fall far short from it. I remember a Sunday school teacher that I heard over the radio several years ago when I was on my way to one of the churches that I serve. And I try to recognize the truth wherever I hear it, regardless of who speaks it. And I heard this Sunday school teacher say to his congregation, he asked them a question. He says, "Are you satisfied with the way that you are living?" I didn't hear any answer over the radio, but I heard his. He says, "Frankly, I'm not. I'm not." Whenever that I read that Bible and compare my life with it and see how far short I come up to living to what I would like to live, says I'm not satisfied. That man had passed on. Regardless of what denomination he belonged to, I believe that there was some measure of faith. I believe that. Not only primitive Baptists have the faith of God. No, we take them into the church because that we feel that they come by faith. Because they come by faith. Because that this faith is manifested in them long before they come to the church. And I read an article several years ago about a man in World War II. Whether he ever heard our people preach or not, I don't know. But he was shipwrecked on the sea for some cause, I know not what. And he was floating out around on the Atlantic Ocean. And he became to be thirsty and he was lost from other people. He saw a cloud rise.
Following was by Elder J.R. Hollinsworth at the Rock Springs meeting the first Sunday in June 1968.
Purpose that it is given for is always accomplished, regardless of what we believe about it or what we think about it. The faith of God is the very living substance, a heavenly gift that has works with it, ordained works, that his disciples shall walk in, and it's not left up to them to walk in or not to walk in, but these works are ordained. That even that Jesus could say to these people that have faith, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." These labors are not something that the Lord's people just take up. You can't take these labors up and you cannot lay them down. You can't do it. These labors are ordained. And then the same Lord that ordained these labors saith to those that are laboring and that are heavy laden, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Not that you might find it, but that you shall find it. You ever come to that place that you feel to be gentle, that you are meek, lowly in heart? And so you're learning of Jesus. For he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think of that as we being yoked together with Christ, not only in his joys, but we must have fellowship with him in his suffering, as well as having fellowship with him in the joy of salvation. If we don't have fellowship with him in his suffering, how can we know anything of his joys? For we must suffer with him in order to reign with him. I know it's getting late in the day, and I'm going to drop the remarks, but it has been a great pleasure to meet with the ones that I have met with, as I feel that you're my people, and I hope that I'm one of you. I'm going to turn the service over to Elder Wood.